Welcome back to Community Accent on Fairfield County's refreshing 90.9 FM. Today we're talking to Amy Lively, author of How to Love Your Neighbor Without Being Weird. And she might be your neighbor. She lives right here in Lancaster and serves at the Life Church out on 37. And we're so happy to have her with us today. We're so excited to celebrate the years of you just pouring your heart out into these pages. And really, what you've done is you are motivating other people to understand and to just get out of their comfort zone and go out and just talk to your neighbor. Just learn their name. Yeah. That's the first step.
I had somebody tell me yesterday, I'm afraid to read it.
I know.
I'm afraid to read it because, you know, we do. We do have a lot of fears about what that actually means to go and love our neighbor.
And, you know, if God is calling you to read this book, He is calling you to love your neighbor. He is really pulling you out and He's giving you a tool, a precious tool. So the conviction is there. It's real. And it's because this is God's number one command, number two command, I should
say.
Yeah,
it is Christ's number two command. But see, here's why. First of all, you can trust Him. You can really trust Him that when He told us to do this, He knew what He was talking about, because this is so much more than just us. See, I was caught up in thinking, well, this is about me. This is my command, so I'm going to go do it, and then I get my check mark for obedience on this. But it's really, really not. It's really about two other things. First of all, it's about the Lord. It's about introducing people to our Lord and Savior, bringing glory to His name, and thinking about bringing glory to His name. Like, you go out there and you get it and you bring it back to Him. You bring glory to His name. And then also, it's about the neighbors. It's about the people who are around you. You will meet incredible people of faith who, I had a prayer warrior in my backyard. And I did not know it.
Wow.
My neighbor lived behind me for 3 or 4 years before I ever met her. And I only met my neighbors because whenever they did laundry, my backyard filled with soapy water. That's probably not a good situation. You know, I was standing there in my laundry when I looked out the backyard and I saw this river of bubbles coming down my yard. And that's what made me walk around to the front of their house and knock on their door. And as I got to know my neighbors there, realized this woman, she could pray down the heavens.
Yes.
Incredible prayer warrior. And she was living right behind me. And my only concern was, can she see into my kitchen? You know, my concern was not, you know, how was her soul? And she blessed me in so many ways beyond measure, beyond fixing the septic tank, which, you know, or the septic system, which they did kindly do. You will find people of faith living around you who will support you, pray with you, help you, glorify God with you. You will worship. You will learn together. You will pray together. But you will also find people who just kind of see the whole faith thing as like, I don't know about that.
Well, here is the thing, though, is, you know, you were saying you can have all these other conversations with people mm-hmm. through the different cultures of, you know,
different areas that shape
government,
your culture,
religion,
yeah.
education, whatever. And you don't have to actually mention church, because if you are Jesus, if you're a Jesus person, you're carrying Jesus to them. They can see it on your face. They can hear it in your talk, even your conversation about other things. Mm-hmm. And they will see Jesus through you, even if you never even mention His name.
Well, you do have to mention His name at some point. You do.
At some point.
But it's not always first.
Right.
It's just not always first, because that gets weird. That can get weird to people. You find out about them and their life and their heart and
yeah.
their passions and their problems and their hobbies. And you find out about them. And as you do that, you're praying, Lord, 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 help me, help me, help me.
Where's the door? Yeah, so you don't knock on their door and say, will you come to my house for an open house, because Jesus said I have to love you. That's weird.
That's weird. That's weird. That's the don't be weird checklist.
All right. Well, now, if some people are to the point where they are paralyzed on their front step and can't mm-hmm. even get to their neighbor's door.
Like me.
Fears and excuses. That's chapter 5 in the book. Tell us how to get through that.
Well, I just want to tell people there is no excuse that you could have that I did not have myself. And you know what? I still make them. I still make these excuses. I still have these fears. This is not something.
We're so busy. I don't have time.
I don't have all the answers. Yeah. So you know what? I allowed my fears to become my excuses. And the thing about my excuses is that they were all true. They were all completely true. They were all logical. They were all valid. They were all justifiable excuses that I had for why I could not get into relationship with the people living around me. So maybe you'll recognize yourself in some of these fears and excuses.
Okay.
But the first one was, I don't have time. I don't have time.
I don't have time. You know, that's a big one.
That's a huge one. And, you know, you look at people's calendars and they probably don't have time because we are busy people. We're even busy with church. We're even busy with good things, with
exactly.
ministry things. We're busy with our families and our grandchildren, and we're busy with Facebooking. There is a stat in the book that tells us how much time we actually do spend looking at a screen, but we're very, very busy. And when I told God that I was too busy to do this, He really showed me who was in charge of my calendar. But really, I had a fear of sacrifice.
Mm.
I didn't want to sacrifice my agenda, my plans, my calendar, my control over my time. I had a fear of sacrifice that just became an excuse.
Well, and here's the thing is because, you know, when you make the commitment to go knock on your neighbor's door and have them come over and you start that relationship, the idea that it could cost you something else, like, okay, this, it doesn't just end here, it continues on. If you're really going to do it, you may have to go an extra step and help them in some way or
whole go the extra mile thing.
Yeah.
Who said that? Who said that? But, You gave 40 minutes of your time that you could have been exercising. The dog needed to go out. There was probably something waiting for you at home when you got there, but you sacrificed 40 minutes of your time to talk to your neighbor who was walking her dog. That was a kingdom investment. And by Friday, you're going to make up that 40 minutes in some way, somehow. But it is a sacrifice.
It is.
And who do we have as the ultimate model of sacrifice?
Yeah, he said, take up your cross daily and follow me.
And he said, love others if I have loved you.
Yes.
So sacrifice is a part of this. And sacrifice, you know, is ugly. Sacrifice is the death of something.
Yeah.
And in our case, it was the death of ourselves and the death of our hold on our control.
So it's a valid excuse, a valid fear,
yes.
But it's obliterated when you hold it up to Christ's words.
Yep. He has this way of doing that, you know. He just takes like this little simple command and he just blows it out of the water.
What about your next fear or
I'm
valid
not
excuse.
Spiritual enough.
Mm.
I'm not spiritual enough. You know, I still occasionally have a fight with my husband. You know, that happens. You know, I still make mistakes. I still get caught in gossip. I don't have the Bible memorized. You know, I'm 2 days behind on my reading plan.
And what if they ask me a question about Christ I can't answer?
Or even just those big hard questions like, why does God allow suffering?
Yes.
Or are there animals in heaven? You know,
that's what happened to me.
Really? What
happened? The neighbor, because I asked her if she knew Jesus, and she's like, well, I just don't understand why all these bad things happen. And I was like, I didn't really know how to respond.
And you know what? So for me, that was a fear of humiliation. I didn't want to be embarrassed. I didn't want to not have an answer. I like to have myself together. You know, I like to prepare thoroughly before I go into something, whether it's work project or, for me, it was a fear of humiliation. I didn't want to be caught on the spot like that. But you know what I found? For one thing, those questions that come up, people don't expect you to have a textbook answer for them. They just kind of want to know that you struggle with those same things too.
Mm.
And if it is something that does merit a thoughtful answer, it's the perfect time to say, you know what? I don't have all the answers to that, but I want to discover that. I know it in my heart and I'm confident that I can, that God has this covered in this whole scheme of things. But you know, you want to talk in a couple of days and I'll see what I can find. And then you go and you pray and you research and you talk and you think and you come up with some
and
questions to ask them.
Elders.
Yes, do ask your elders. People don't expect you to be perfect. They don't expect you to have all the answers. So I even tell you how to respond when people do ask these questions. Ask questions about their questions.
Mm-hmm.
Ask what they think and why are they thinking that, and admit you don't know, and then ask if you can talk about it later.
Absolutely. We are talking today to Amy Lively about how to love your neighbor without being weird. we are obliterating every excuse or fear that you could possibly have. We have all had them and experienced them even today, mm-hmm. even now, even after several years of having people in your homes and knocking on doors, there's still the fear factor and
That's what forces you to rely on God. That's the good part.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Talking to Amy Lively today. You can find her book at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, all the places, including The Well in Lancaster. We're going to talk about some open houses and book signing events coming up on Fairfield County's Refreshing 90.9 FM.